Hi, everyone. This is Don Davis, your host of Supply Chain Secrets, back presenting this week's episode. So this week, we have one of our returning guests, one of the elite group of two-time guests. And this week, it's Lynn Wong, and Lynn's doing some coaching. And the topic we broached today is on health matters. And so we start off talking about the importance of just the human condition. And, you know, there's a different way of thinking about oneself than there might have been in the past. In the past, we might have thought of things as like, I'm not sick, I'm not on medication, no allergies. But in today's environment, it's more important to think more holistically. So Lynn dives in and provides her perspective there. And she talks a lot about how everyone's different and that maybe the same thing doesn't work for everybody. So it was great to hear her perspective there. And then we talked a little bit about some of the risk factors, like what should you be looking for where there's a sign that you may be in some kind of trouble and really need to do something. So she lists out some things that perhaps might be leading to burnout. And if you're in this category, certainly there needs to be something done about it. But even before that, I think there's things you can do on a regular basis. And Lynn talks about some essentials that you could be doing, which some of them are actually surprisingly easy, but sometimes we forget to do it in a distracted day-to-day work life. So it's great to get a perspective there. And then we talked a lot about, what could a call to action look like if you're trying to really embrace this idea of health matters. And then as a second step, we got into International Women's Day and talking about the theme for this year. So this year's theme was embracing equity. And so Lynn and Caroline are both active in this space. So they provided some context as far as what they're doing, asked me some tough questions about what I'm doing. So I thought it was a great show. It was a lot of fun. So give it a listen and let us know what you think. And as always, enjoy the show.
You are now listening to the Supply Chain Secrets Podcast with Don Davis.
Hi, everyone. My name is Don Davis. I'm the Senior Vice President of MBO Experience here at Knightscheck and former executive of Hapag-Lloyd and CMA CGM. And welcome to another episode of Supply Chain Secrets. So this episode, I'm joined by my co-host, Caroline Weaver. Caroline, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Weaver. I'm an account manager here at Knightscheck working with MBOs.
Exciting. And in today's show, we have a special guest, one of the elite group of two-time guests on Supply Chain Secrets. So we've yet to have a third. We don't know who it's going to be yet, and we're going to have some discussions. Maybe the listeners can help us decide. But in this show, we have Lynn Wong. So Lynn, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be back with the Knightscheck team. I am former alumni of the Knightscheck group. I took some time away to invest in a sabbatical and have transitioned from working specifically just in the global shipping space to really focusing more on serving women, high potential women, to help them gain energy to beat burnout and do the work they love. In short, I fully transitioned to becoming a human potential coach.
That's awesome. And I'm excited to talk about that. And I think before we go there, we thought it was relevant given that TPM was just last week. So we're recording this on March 6th. And maybe we talk a little bit about the health of the industry, which is, I think, a great segue. Then let's talk about, you know, people and the people component of this. And I mean, I don't know if anyone else has any views on this, but I think it's an interesting time in the industry simply because we're starting to see carrier results and we can see the early reportings are that carriers have a bunch of cash. They earn somewhere $20 billion, depending on who you are. So I think it's, you know, when we think about the health of the industry, I think it's good that carriers have strong balance sheets. Wasn't always the case. And, they had a terrific result last year. I think the other thing when I think about the health of the industry that's really exciting is that, the environment really is top of mind. And coming out of TPM, you heard a lot of discussion about the decarbonization of the industry. And that's still really top of mind for carriers, which I think is important because I don't know if people know this, but if you took all the emissions from the ocean industry, it would equate to about the emissions produced of Germany. And Germany's in like the top five of emission producing countries. So, and that's not a knock on Germany. That's just a matter of fact. But the point being is that it's pretty significant when you think about emissions. So it's really important that carriers stay focused on that and still have goals on 2050. But I think from a concerning side, my perspective is that first of all, we all know that there's a lot of rate pressure, that demand has decreased significantly. and the spot rates have dropped somewhere, let's say, you know, low $1,000 range. And that's from a high, coming off a high of upwards of $10,000. So there's certainly rate pressure. You know, I have a lot of thoughts on the future of the industry and where things are going to go, but we'll save that for another episode. But I don't know if either one of you have any reactions to anything that's going on in the market or anything that I've said so far.
Interesting that the environmental issues was a focus at TPM. I think we think about sustainability in terms of the environment and what's around us, but I'm excited for this episode. We're going to dive more into sustainability within the individual.
I was very encouraged at Peter Tirschwell's article coming out of TPM last week, where, you know, the words interdependence, interconnectedness of, you know, people, planet, profits, you know, are finally being acknowledged. And so it's really good to hear that carriers have a healthy balance sheet, that the commitment to decarbonization is real and underway. And, you know, the whole industry is truly coming together to attempt to be more holistic in how they invest their energy, their money, and hopefully take care of their people as we set the new normal.
Yeah, and I think it's such an interesting thing because as I think about this topic, I mean, I think that there's a lot of headwinds out there for carriers because we know that the, you know, rates have dropped. We know that demand is low. We can see that there's a lot of companies going through restructuring. There's risks of consolidation. And I think this is very stressful times for individuals. I mean, some people are working at companies that know they're for sale or there's rumors for them for sale. And I think it's challenging to be in that type of environment. I worked for Hapag-Lloyd when they were for sale and there was risk of them being sold to NOL. And, you know, there's, it's an anxious experience. And, I don't know, Lynn, I mean, this is kind of your space. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that and how it relates to the individual and what your perspective is.
Now, thank you for the question. Stress is real and stress is universal. And it's easier to say, oh, it's because you work in this industry versus that industry. And we fail to actually acknowledge the common ground that stress is stress. It's human stress, right? And stress basically means that the body is in dis-ease or disease, right? And because I've had the chance to invest in my own health and well-being, especially in the back half of 2022, I've come to appreciate that health is so much more than just not sick or no medications or no allergies, that health and well-being is multidimensional and bio-individual.
Yeah. And so when you talk about like health and, you know, that it's like not just one thing, like, you know, not sick. I mean, what do you think, is there something that's top of mind when you think of like, what are the most important elements when you're thinking about health? Because I think we have a lot of just historical notions of what health looks like. And what would you say in a modern environment are the more relevant things that we're not considering that we should?
Health is truly interconnected. And because I took that pause, I had a chance to appreciate that health is multidimensional. And what that means is it's really inclusive of how well your body is, how well your mind is, how well your heart is, and how well your spirit really is. And, you know, these four dimensions really come together. And, but on a day-to-day basis, when we're so ruled by our schedules or phones and our commitments to others, you know, family, customers, we can get so good at decompartmentalizing all of that just to get things done that we get so good at doing, we forget the human being, the being in the human that is us. And I think that also is probably what the industry is seeing. And that's why Peter's article was so inspiring for me, because it is interconnected. The industry is truly interconnected. And that's not just the physical handoff of goods, right? From the supplier in the factory into the container, to the port, onto the vessel, off the port, and back into the domestic supply chain network at place of arrival. It really is actually the people who are creating the handoffs. And in industries, industries are communities, and communities are made out of individual human beings. So I'm hopeful that there is more awareness now to if you take care of each individual human being, and if the human being takes care of themselves, then we've got reason to be hopeful. We've got good things ahead. I hope that made some sense.
I think so. One of the ideas that changed my approach to health and living a healthy lifestyle is the idea that health requires maintenance. It's not a one-time effort. Being healthy isn't this nebulous idea that is just like this overwhelming concept of I need to do all these things in order to be healthy, whatever that might mean. I think when you approach it a bit more tactically or you break it down into smaller pieces, it's easier to achieve those goals of being healthy. Maintenance becomes easier to do as you start breaking it down and trying to achieve those smaller goals.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought up that aspect of health. It makes me think about, you know, one of the concepts I learned in the integrative nutrition health coaching program that I went through, that health is truly bio-individual. And so everybody is different. We know that. Every body is different, and every body is different in every season. And seasons are not just restricted to age, right? So of course, age is a factor, one way of keeping up with seasons. The other seasons that I'm thinking through is also the season of work when, you know, you try to make that transition from college to the workforce, from, you know, being established in the workforce to parenthood for the people that chose to do that. And from parenthood to then caregiving responsibilities. So it is true that everybody is different. It really is also about honoring that everybody is different in every season. And so your needs will change. And not sick today doesn't mean not sick tomorrow. And like you said, if you don't invest in maintenance, you know, you're really not doing yourself a favor. You're not taking care of yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself, it's going to be hard to take care of the people you care about at home and at work, your customers, and therefore the industry.
So, Lynn, I mean, I would say that this is something that's relatively new, this new idea. And I think that, you know, you hear these kind of issues when you talk about, like, you know, mental health, and, you know, thinking about yourself more holistically, that, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, didn't really think about those things as much. They might've been there, but not certainly common. And I can imagine being in, you know, the shipping industry, kind of an old industry. I can say that because I've been in it for a long time, I guess. And it feels like old. And I'm glad to see that there's an injection of youth. I feel like it's becoming more youthful. But I would say in general, it just feels like it's an older, more traditional industry. And there might be some resistance to this idea of like this holistic mind and, you know, changing the norm and challenging the norm from what you might have talked about 30 years ago. And what would you say to those people, like as evidence to try and help convince them to say, like, hey, this is a real thing. You need to really look at this. Is there anything that you think of as you're asked that question of like, if I'm, you know, the shipping veteran who says like, this is some crazy new age thing. What would you say to try and convince me of how relevant this is?
Yeah, I would go back to why shipping exists, right? Shipping at its core exists because we are moving goods of value from one place to another for humans, for people, right? And the ones that do it well are the most significant, the largest shipping companies in the world. There's something to be said about building a shipping brand, you know, that sustains and is still alive after hundreds of years. And those that perhaps get acquired or completely disappear, right? And it's not just their balance sheets that disappear. It's people who create those balance sheets, right? So it really is about people. And so, yes, you know, while it is occasionally fun, you know, to grumble about the Gen Zs or grumble about the millennials or like, you know, raise my hands and say proud Gen X or, you know what, everyone goes through the ages of, you know, life. So everyone will be 30 someday. Doesn't matter whether you're a millennial or Gen Z or otherwise, right? And so shipping companies is the same way. And so if humans put the energy to create healthy balance sheets, wouldn't it be simple, essential logic to put energy into sustaining those humans that create good balance sheets, right? And so I think the parallels between sustainable health of shipping, the industry, sustainable health of the planet, and sustainable health of the people who benefit from shipping, who do shipping, and who live on the planet are so interconnected that it's not obvious. It certainly wasn't obvious to me. You know, I say I got a chance to invest in the sabbatical, and the honest truth is I wouldn't have made that investment if my body didn't start shouting at me. And that was because I started ignoring my intuition that something was not whole, right? Something was off. And then my mind said, you know, I'll sleep when I die. Just power through, you know, get up, get going. You know, all the affirmations of the just get it done, right? I bought into that. And then my body decided one day it had enough of my disrespect. And so it shut me down. It banished my mind, and my heart was kind enough to remind me, it's time. It's time to take a break. And as I've learned, if you don't take your breaks, the breaks will come take you. And so public service announcement, please take your breaks.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Lynn. And I think there's probably some people who are listening who are, you know, wondering about themselves and maybe thinking about like some of the things that they might have been dealing with, particularly with the current environment. You know, we've had COVID, which has been hanging around probably for the rest of our lives now. There's, you know, stress in the workplace, you know, as rates come under pressure. Cost is top of mind. So carriers are thinking about like how to control costs. MBOs are thinking about how to control costs. They're asking you to do more with less than they might have. And that environment might cause me to some anxiety and some stress. And I might be listening to this wondering like, wow, is this me? Like, I don't know. I have some bad days. So can you talk a little bit about like, what should someone look for? Like if they're wondering, like, do I really have a problem or how should they react to some of the things that they might be experiencing? I mean, what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, a little context and then I'll answer your question directly. So the context, and I'm glad you brought up COVID, right? So because we're all in the history of COVID, there's not enough research to really tell us what is definitively long COVID and how it affects everyone. So I did get COVID, and for the longest time after COVID, I really struggled with chronic fatigue, you know, memory loss, brain fog, and exhaustion, and just, you know, all of the above on a regular workday is really rough. And as I have had time to pause, to, you know, fill my mind with new knowledge, open my heart to just being aware of, you know, where I am, you know, what I've learned is burnout, long COVID, chronic fatigue, perimenopause for women, and andropause for men. So essentially hormonal, you know, big hormonal shifts and swings in midlife, so 40 and up, actually have those overlapping symptoms. The overlapping symptoms of fatigue, exhaustion, insomnia, you know, the inability to concentrate, a little depression, anxiety, even sweating, they overlap, which means the diagnosis is not going to be a straight equation like one that you can put in Excel. So my encouragement to everyone and advice I take to myself is, you know, commit to listening. Commit to listening to your body and caring for it the same way you listen to customers, to friends and family, right? I mean, shipping is a big industry and it's easy to just, you know, lump it as one industry, but it's not one size fits all. If you think about, you know, how many hundred shippers are on every single vessel, you know, every container may measure the same, but their condition, their colors, and what's inside of them are truly all different. So I would say, listen to your body. And, you know, as a point of doing more with less, actually that works for our health too. You know, it's not the next gym membership. It's not the number of hours you're on the treadmill. It really is some essentials. Drink water first thing every morning. So you do something good for yourself and your health, and more during the day. Eat mindfully. So literally put away your phone, put away tech, listen to music if you really can't stand the silence, but just chew your food. Think about where your food came from, you know, and you can actually do that in 10 minutes and feel pretty good after that. Actively breathe. You know, we take our breath for granted, but that is actually not ours to have. And if you're ever looking for magic in your day on those days where it's super, super dark, just close your eyes and breathe in and breathe out. Initially, you'll think that, oh, I'm in control of my breath, but I dare you to hold your breath. And you won't be able to hold it forever because the force of life will force you to exhale and breathe in again. And there you go. You know, that's a gift. That's a gift that all humans have. All, what, 9 billion of us on the planet? Sleep. You can't just keep doing. You've got to sleep. 8 hours if you can, sleep through. And then moving joyfully. Moving joyfully was probably hardest for me because I kept looking left and looking right. And, you know, I saw these super stretchy yoga people or these, you know, marathon runners. And I'm like, oh, this is so complicated. It's so difficult. But whatever makes you happy as you're moving, do more of it. And it really is do more with less. And those are the 5 essential steps that everyone can do, even little children, towards a happy, healthy life.
I think it's a difficult concept for a lot of people to accept that the answer or the resolution to these problems is to stop and just take time to listen to what your body needs and what it's telling you, what it's screaming at you. We have a culture of go, 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 hustle and fix things as they break and try to move as quickly as possible. So it's probably very challenging for a lot of people, myself included, to take that time to be calm and really listen to what my body is telling me. But I used to do yoga pretty frequently. I know, Dawn, you've talked about doing yoga as well. I think that's actually a great activity to get you in touch with how your body functions, how your mind is interpreting the actions that you're taking, the way you're talking to yourself as you do yoga, and the mindfulness aspect of it. I always really enjoyed because I was able to see the progress in very incremental bits. I could see that my leg stretched a little bit further one day, or I was able to bend further back the next day. And I was able to take pleasure in those small moments of wins.
Caroline, you weren't supposed to tell anyone that I, you know, I'm in yoga. So now it's secrets out, but no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, I think the cool thing, I mean, if I could just talk for a second about yoga and be a commercial for yoga and encourage everyone to be a good yogi. But I, you know, I would say in December I started doing yoga, and I was encouraged by some friends to do it and just really talk about the therapeutic benefits of that. And, you know, you swore I would feel better, after I did it. And, I would say that was absolutely the case. And I think that that point about, first of all, slowing down, you know, you basically don't, you're not moving quickly. It's a very slow process. And just calling attention to your breath and thinking about breathing, which I don't think we do enough of in our day-to-day life. But also there's just this mind clearing component, because if you're trying to, like, you know, do this evil warrior pose and, you know, if you don't know what it is, you can look it up, but, not always the easiest thing to do in your life. And I, by the way, had to spend a lot of time, like, looking at people, like, what is the instructor talking about? But it forces you to think about what you're doing and think about your body and, like, can I do these sorts of things? And on the other side of that yoga class, I always felt like, wow, it just cleared my head because I was moving at a different speed. I was thinking about breathing and I wasn't worried about, like, all the day-to-day things, like, you know, my phone ringing or all these text messages or all these emails I need and all these things I have to do. And I always came out of that class with clarity about what the most important thing I needed to do next was, because again, it's just, to me, felt like a reset. And I mean, that's been my experience. I don't know. I mean, some people tell me they don't like yoga or whatever. I like hot yoga. Maybe other people are different, but I think the point is, like, you have to find something that helps you. I mean, for me, I don't want to stop doing it because I feel like it's very therapeutic and helpful, and it's an essential part of my life at this point. But to what we're talking about, I think people need to find those things in order to help themselves. But Lynn, what do you think about that?
Oh, I fully agree. I you know, got on the yoga mat more as a activity that seems to help other people, so it might help me, you know, when I started my sabbatical. And so I kind of kept it in its exercise box that I was checking. And, you know, as I progressed in my knowledge about holistic health, I saw the integration. And even today on this call, right, it's no coincidence that I get to share with the world that, hey, you know, I'm the healthiest and happiest and most present than I've ever been. I'm exactly where I'm meant to be, that I see clearly the correlation between NYSHEC's work providing digital infrastructure for the shipping industry as the same as us taking care of our individual health. You know, shipping might be a little difficult for, you know, everyone to grasp because they just think of like floating metal on water. But another way of thinking about infrastructure is through the railroads. You know, you have to prepare the ground before you can put the railroads on it, right? Because it doesn't matter how good the steel is, because if Mother Earth, literally the planet, the ground, is not prepared, the infrastructure won't hold. And this is why the work is necessary, so difficult, and therefore even more necessary for everyone, every, you know, person participating in this work, to find what makes them healthy and present. And if yoga doesn't work for you, breath would. And it's about giving yourself permission and not just looking to others to give you permission to take breaks. You know, my growth on the yoga mat literally had to do with first, of course, looking at everybody and going, all the list of 10 things that I'm not. I'm not a warrior. Like I can't do the warrior pose. Right. And then I actually started closing my eyes and I literally realized that that was my moment of learning, that when I close my eyes, I literally am just left with breath and movement. And when I close my eyes, I'm not comparing. And when I compare, I despair. So, you know, while it was a lesson on the yoga mat, I've been able to take it into my daily life and honestly feel strong enough to celebrate difference, that, if yoga works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, that's okay. I'm just happy that you're looking for movement that makes you happy and healthy, because then we can be friends for a long time.
I think as part of this episode, I need to find a like yoga place studio to sponsor us, because I think we're convincing enough people. Yoga subscriptions are going to take off and go through the roof as a result of this. So I hopefully people are convinced. Check it out. I'd like to like pivot a little bit here at this point and talk about International Women's Day. And we know that that's coming up, and I think you're both very involved in this space. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the themes and some of what's going on with this year's International Women's Day.
So, Don, I want to congratulate you. You know, since I've made the transition from, you know, member of NYSHEC into fan of NYSHEC, it's been awesome watching you actively create space for women in the industry and women at NYSHEC, you know, from sharing your stories on the podcast to intentionally inviting Caroline to share her experiences and her wisdom with all of us on the podcast. So thank you for doing that. And that bridge between health and International Women's Day is really about creating workplaces where everyone can thrive, right? And thriving means happy, healthy in body, mind, spirit, and heart. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. Caroline and I were just talking a little bit about International Women's Month and International Women's Day, and both are gestures and days where we can uplift the stories of women at home and in the industry, all with the intention to uplift and create a little bit more joy in our workspaces.
And Caroline, can you talk a little bit about, like, for you, like, International Women's Day? I know here at NYSHEC you're involved. I mean, could you talk a little bit about your experience and perspective on this year's International Women's Day?
Sure. So this theme for this year is Embrace Equity. And the theme isn't really just to be discussed and celebrated on one day. It's really supposed to be a year-long application. And I think International Women's Day serves as a great reminder of taking time to reflect both on personal growth, if you identify as a woman, or looking at the industry and how far we've come as an industry in terms of women being in leadership and the contributions that women have made. But yeah, I think it's just a really awesome thing to be able to celebrate. I'm excited that NYSHEX makes the space for us to do this. And we're going to be doing a fun trivia internally. So I'm excited to be hosting that.
Yeah, and I did sign up to participate, Caroline. So really looking forward to that. So, but yeah, I think it's great stuff. And I mean, I think, you know, as a male on International Women's Day, I mean, I'm excited because I think it's an opportunity to be mindful of my role as a male and interacting with women, things I need to do. And we've talked about it on this podcast before. We've had women in shipping on our episodes twice so far, which we're still planning on having a third and making that a regular segment. But the point about just creating awareness, and I think that's what maybe a lot of men don't completely understand, is that it's about creating awareness. And to that point about, it's not just a day. It's not just like we take a break for one day and recognize women. It is an ongoing thing, and use International Women's Day as a day to commit to being more mindful and thinking about these things, because you're going to achieve a better result at the end, and you're going to be able to maximize the roles of women in your organization if you're more open to it and actually make women feel more supported and comfortable than, you know, we might do today, where we have like one woman in a room with 10 men that are all being all jokey and sportsy and these kinds of things. And, you know, it's not relatable for everybody. And certainly one of my biggest takeaways is that, like, chill with the sports metaphors, okay? Because not everybody understands what it means to say, you know, this is inside baseball, or, you know, I lost my fastball. They're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I think there's other things you can do to choose your metaphors wisely. And so what would you say, like, people can do, this whole idea of equity, like, what can people do to embrace equity? Like, do you have anything for those that are listening? Like, well, you know, I want to participate in this, but what can I do? I don't understand what I'm supposed to do to help embrace equity. What would you say to that?
I'm glad you led us here. So equity and equality are just incredibly important to the overall conversation of a more diverse and inclusive and just world. So equality is essentially giving everyone the same resources, giving everyone the same piece of fruit, for example, to tie the analogies back. Equity is giving everyone they need to be successful, not necessarily equal. And what I mean by that is, you know, instead of giving everyone apples and say, okay, everybody should eat an apple because an apple a day keeps the doctor away, it is paying attention to, does anyone have allergies to apples? You know, and okay, maybe we need to give the people who have allergies to apples some oranges instead. And yes, oranges cost more, but fruit is good for health, and we want healthy people in our workplaces, right? So that is one analogy to bear in mind on the difference between equity and equality. The other analogy that is also very useful to transportation is shoes, right? You know, transportation, us walking is the most basic form of human transportation, right? Before shipping, there was walking to move goods of value, right? From A to B. So giving people shoes is equality, but giving them shoes that actually fit their feet is equity. Because when your shoes are too tight or too big, you hurt, and you can't carry out your job, right? So I would encourage everyone to take those simple analogies to then ask themselves, what can they do in the workplace? And sometimes it's something as simple as, do we have to have our morning huddles every morning at 9 a.m., right? Is anyone extra stressed because it's at 9 a.m., because there's a school drop-off or something? Just ask the question, right? And just coming back to awareness and exploration of these themes is a really big step one. The other big step too is to consider that, oh, why can't we just stick to equality? Why do we have to think about equity? It would be great if we could all be equals, but the truth is not all of us start at the same point. And because we have all, you know, different privileges in our lives, we don't start the same. So equity is really important to thriving workplaces where people can discuss these concepts, ask each other for solutions, and not assume that they know what's best. So hopefully those are a few easy things to incorporate to you know, celebrate International Women's Day and honor the theme with intention so it benefits everyone, not just women.
Yeah. I think the theme extends to, obviously, outside of just men, women, all genders. It really goes to all races, all nationalities, all ages, any sort of combination of things you can think of. The idea is really meet people where they're at and provide the support that they need, that you ask them about, like, what can I do to help you? You don't want to assume necessarily, you want to meet people where they're at and provide the support from there.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's really awesome that we have this International Women's Day. And I think because it represents an opportunity for people to maybe start to think differently. And I love the idea of having a theme around the day, because now you're trying to create a certain type of awareness that may not have been present before. And I think it's really important to help people understand, like, it's not just, you know, a day about, there's certain things that we're trying to achieve and as part of this theme. And I guess what would good look like to you? I mean, what would you like to see happen as an outcome on the other side of, let's say, International Women's Day? So let's say it's like a month or 2 months later, like do you have any thought on what you'd like to see happening as a result of some of the themes and some of the activities around International Women's Day this year?
Yeah, I have a hope that at its most basic, everyone takes their full vacation allotment and that they actually take their full vacation allotment, which means negotiate at least some completely off work email days for the person taking it and honoring that time off, right? Because I think healthy workspaces are made up of all identities, and fully taking time off is a big first step that is extremely achievable. Unique to the women, I would then continue to create spaces for questions that could come up and dialogue around, are there any moments, places, spaces of discomfort where, you know, the full potential of our women associates may not yet be tapped? What does that look like? Right? And to welcome everyone, because they're all in different seasons of their lives.
Yeah.
Caroline, what do you think?
I love that. I agree with all that. That'd be splendid if we could see that. I think the idea of having a more open and upfront culture around feedback and saying what you need and being able to ask for help, not only be able to ask, but also be received with open arms and support in terms of what you need and how others can help you. I'd love to see more of that. I think as we progress further into the year, really owning the idea and extending beyond just the month of March.
Yeah, that's really great. And I'd love to see that. You know, I'm certainly going to try and do my part to contribute. I mean, I think I'm a lot more into these things than I might have realized. I don't know, like, I was trying to do things. But I think the whole idea around, like, creating awareness and creating activities around it, I think are going to help us achieve some positive results. So, Lynn, at this point in the show, I just want to ask you a question. Is there anything else? I mean, you've been a great guest. I think you've provided great insights. Is there anything else you'd like to share or for us to do while we're all here together on Supply Chain Secrets?
Two more things. One is to listen, and two is to speak up. So I go back to, you know, some of the fundamentals between a healthy industry and a healthy individual. It's about listening, right? So I would, you know, invite everyone to truly listen more deeply and realize where you don't have vocabulary and where you have. So listen to your body as well as you listen to your customer, and listen to listen. Don't listen to answer, right? I think that's really the beginning of awareness, self-awareness, then create space for awareness where people can come together and dialogue without fear of retaliation and anxiety. The second thing I would like to encourage everyone then is the practice. Don't just listen, also speak up. And I recognize that speaking up can be awkward, it can be complex, it can be nerve-wracking. But, you know, now, at least inside of NYSHEX, everyone, you know, is very clear that the leaders are listening, they're willing to listen, that then they should, you know, take action as well to speak up. Practice your vocabulary, share your concerns, share your excitement, and, you know, invest in both skills, listening and speaking up.
Yeah, great. I love that. I love that advice. That's really great. Now, before you go, we normally allow our guests the opportunity to ask us questions. And I don't know if there's anything, you don't have to do it, but we always allow people because, you know, you've been peppered with questions for about a half an hour now. And it's only fair that if there's something that you'd like to ask either one of us, that you have the opportunity to do so. So now this is the point, Lynn, where we're play podcast or feel free to ask us a question, or you can defer and be like, hey, I'm good. I don't have any questions.
I'm going to ask Caroline two questions and I'm going to ask you three questions.
Oh boy.
She's ready.
The extra question, Don, I'll leave at the end for you, but the two questions are similar for you. What is the one thing you will do for yourself, for your health and well-being? And two, what is one small step you're going to take to embrace equity?
Oh boy. Am I answering both questions first?
Your call.
All right. I'm going to answer the first question and then I'll let Caroline answer the first question. Then we'll do a second question because I need to think about it. But I would say the first thing I'm going to do for myself, I would say maybe not something I'm going to do that's new per se, but that I'm going to commit to continue to doing for myself. And that is being very active and regular at my gym. So I'm lucky enough to go to a Lifetime Fitness. It's an incredible facility. It's not commercial for Lifetime. They don't sponsor the show at all, but they probably should. But it's unfortunate that they have enough like classes. This is where they offer yoga and different kinds of things. But you know, I can also take the opportunity to, you know, do other kinds of fitness activities. But the point of that whole thing is, you know, I feel like that time is an investment in me. You know, some people might say like, oh, you're selfish. You have to go to the gym or whatever. And that's a bunch of hooey, if you ask me, that you need to make time to invest in yourself. I've been committed to doing that for the better part of, let's say, the past 6 or 8 months. You know, I was distracted with a lot of different things in my life, and I wasn't taking time for it. I wasn't making time for it. And I can say that after having done it for a certain amount of time, I feel terrific. I feel so much better. And I'm probably not as grouchy. I don't know. Caroline, you'd probably be the one to answer that question. Am I less grouchy?
No, but you're never grouchy.
But the fact is that I feel like I could deal with things much better because, you know, I'm coming from a place where I'm not as frustrated. I have outlets and I can let go of things. And, you know, I take time to invest in myself. What about you, Caroline?
So I think 2020 was really the time where I sat and reflected on where I was at with things in my life. I didn't really cook much back then. I hated cooking, didn't know how to do it, found it to be exhausting. Didn't really work out, you know, just overall like health score pretty bad. Ever since then, I've taken various steps in moving forward and cultivating a more healthy lifestyle for myself. I think it began with yoga. I mentioned earlier, I used to do yoga a lot. I don't so much anymore because I've forayed into a lot of other activities. I'm on a soccer league, like an adult rec league. And I did ballet for a little bit. I like to run now. I never used to like running, but it's something that I've been finding a lot of enjoyment in. But I think really for me, the goal is to be continuous with it. I think when I'm mindful of I'm eating this dinner, it's healthy, you know, maybe it's fish, there's protein, and then there's some like healthy carbs. I'm able to see, wow, I feel great later. Or later I'm like, man, I had a piece of cake for dinner instead of an actual dinner. And I kind of feel really awful. So I think for me, it's maintaining that strong connection with the result of what I do. And so I just want to continue doing that and really strengthening that that muscle for myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And coming back to your other question about what will I commit to doing to embrace equity. And I think this is probably something I could do a better job of. Am I making sure that everyone has what they need, or am I making assumptions around, do they have what they need? And I think maybe people have what they need, but am I asking the question, and am I being deliberate and purposeful in terms of how I'm interacting with others? And I would say that's something I feel like I could do a better job. And I think through this podcast, I'm learning so much through this podcast, I could tell you. And this is just another example of something that I could probably do to make a better environment for people. And Caroline can hold me accountable that I actually do something and start asking these questions. But I think it's just important to ask questions and make sure and don't make assumptions around, does everyone have what they need? But Caroline, what about you? Same question.
So for me, I guess one of the things that has been lingering in my mind for a while now is having some sort of mentorship program at NYSHEX, specifically within the Women in Shipping group, the employee resource group that we have here. There's been interest expressed in having some group like that, being paired with people. I think maybe 2023 is the year we figure something out. So if you're listening and you have experience developing mentorship programs, please reach out. But I think that's going to be my step for this year.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
So my last question for you, Dawn, is actually an invitation. In the spirit of mindfulness, and in honor of your yoga practice as well, as we close out the podcast, would you lead us in a 1 minute mindful breathing exercise?
Lynn, I remember, and for our listeners, we, sometimes have pre-meetings and we talked about this, and I wasn't sure if this was going to come back up or not. So, I was kind of dreading it because I've never done it before where I've let it, but, I'm happy to take a stab at it. And the good news is that podcasts can be edited. So if it's horrible, then we'll have a different ending to the podcast. So, I'll give it a shot. So here we go. Okay. I'm going to ask everyone, if you're listening and you're driving, pause the podcast right here and wait until you get to a place that you can close your eyes, because that's what I'm going to ask you to do. But for those that can, close your eyes and start to relax. And what I want you to do is call attention to your breath. And start thinking about how you're breathing. And at the same time, I want us to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And we're going to do that one more time. Take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Now we're going to do this one more time, but on this exhale, I want you to let go of something. So think about something that you've been holding on to and let it go. So on this deep breath in, and let it out. Okay, I want us to do one more thing while we're here together and being mindful of our breath, is I want us to put one hand on our heart and one hand on our stomach. And I want us to be grateful for what our body does and think about everything it does for us every day. And we should be grateful for ourselves. And we should also be grateful for showing up today. We listened to a podcast that I think was very positive, and one that was very positive for ourselves and positive in our outlook. And let's use that gratitude as we go forward in the rest of today, in the rest of the week, and the rest of our life. Thank you, and namaste.
Namaste.
This concludes your meditation. So hopefully that was okay. I don't know. My first time.
That was perfect. Great job.
Well, I don't know. The listeners can judge and say, like, hey, don't don't go into yoga. We're not going to.
So this is the fun part about, you know, being a proud NYSHEX alumni and being a human potential coach, right? I join you in manifesting, and perhaps next year TPM, you will get to lead everyone in an opening 1 minute mindful meditation. One step towards a healthy, happy industry.
I do really enjoy this stuff. So I find it like one of the best parts of my day when I'm able to do it. All right, Lynn, thank you so much. You've been a terrific guest. Anything you want to add before we close it out?
Thank you both for having me. It's been a joy and a privilege.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And for our listeners, don't forget, give us feedback, rate us, review us, wherever you find our podcast, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you go. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Supply Chain Secrets Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast network.